Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, October 16th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 53, the second paragraph, When We Became Alcoholics, through one paragraph ending, What Was Our Choice to Be? Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are Shelley, 12 Steps, Shelley E., 12 Traditions, Blair S., Reader of the Text, Kara L., Ann S.C.H., and Shelley E. The reference number for Tuesday, October 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,830. That's 21830. And for this morning, Wednesday, October 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,836. That's 21836. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Yvonne A., and Eileen M. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, my fellows. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. And Dawn, you're still garbled, FYI. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. And I'll now ask Blair S. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. I'm Blair S. from Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, I need to talk before I come to the meeting. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Blair S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 53, the second paragraph, when we became alcoholics, through one paragraph ending, what was our choice to be? And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Kara L. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Don. This is Kara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. When we became alcoholics, crushed by self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fiercely face the proposition that either God is everything or he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? Well, so a much quoted paragraph here and a very powerful paragraph. The first thing that really speaks to me when I see this is the self-imposed crisis. I can't tell you how many self-imposed crises I have because I have a fixed way of that I look at things and I can only see one exit or avenue, which is what I think needs to happen. So what is my choice to be? I can either go with that or I can sit back and say, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do here. And I'm going to ask my higher power for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, you know, in this this self-imposed crisis, this crisis that I've created, right? Those are my choices. And I can choose to just happily go on my way with what I think I need to do. And usually it's difficult and hard and has many tears. And I usually figure out that I'm in my own will through inventory process, once I've gotten down the road a bit, and it's hard. And any way along the road, I can stop and I can say, oh, wait a minute here. I'm the one that is creating this crisis. I haven't asked for help. And there's my solution, right? Not to have the answer to the crisis as it's happening, but just to sit back and say, higher power, I don't know what I'm doing here. Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, you know, to whatever. Because in my practice, I'm coming to understand that my mind is very, it can't see everything that my higher power can see. Like, my mind is small compared to it. There's so many avenues and ways that life can go, but I don't see that. So I need my higher power to like create an avenue that I never even thought of. You know, I need my higher power to give me that intuition that like, oh my goodness, I didn't even think of that. You know, and so sometimes it comes with great pain where I'm putting things in a God box, I'm writing inventories, I'm working the steps, and it's all to let go and to say, I don't know. And then I have to sit a bit before those other avenues open, but they always do. And I'm so grateful for that today. And I'll always go with, what do you think, God? That I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kara L. Great way to get us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Hillary P.
I heard
Margaret
Hillary.
P.
And Mark, was it, okay, was it Margaret and then Claire?
Ann S-C-H.
Ann S-C-H?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I have Hillary P, I believe. Margaret, and I didn't get your initial, Claire E, Ann S-C-H. Anyone else?
Vicky T from Florida.
Vicky T, Florida. Okay,
Janice,
well, that's
K.
Janice K. Let's go ahead and stop there. All right, beautiful lineup. I have Hillary, followed by Margaret, followed by Claire, then Anne, Vicky, and Janice. Hillary, please get us started, and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Thank you so much. It's Hillary B, as in boy, from Southern California, Pacific Time. This is such a powerful paragraph. It's so short. When I became alcoholic, compulsive overeater, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, all my crises are self-imposed. I never knew that. I was a very, very well-practiced victim, filled with self-pity. Everything was a crisis. And always now I get to see I create them with my thinking, my fear. I impose my crisis on myself, how I react to what other people say or do. I don't get what I want. It's so scary. And I had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or God is nothing. And it asks, what is my choice to be? It doesn't say, what have I discovered is the real truth about God? What is God? Do I understand what God is now? No, it's a choice. It's just a choice. And my choice is God is everything. My difficulty is remembering to turn things over to God when I'm filled with fear or when I get triggered and have an outburst. I'm working on that. It's emotional sobriety is a tall order. But if I don't pick up the food to soothe myself, supposedly soothe myself, to drug myself, to numb myself, to stay in the denial I'm so well practiced at going into, if I don't use food for that, then there's hope. Because for the last year and a half, more and more has been shown to me about how it's always me. My troubles are always of my own making, and God is always the solution. It doesn't mean I'm always going to be happy, 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 and that everything in my life is going to be rainbows and unicorns, and I get to be Goldilocks and have everything be just right. It just means everything is for my highest and best good, and a lot of times that involves lessons, growth lessons, which aren't easy, but they're so rewarding, and the gift is so much freedom. Freedom, not self-imposed imprisonment. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you. Hillary B. from California. Mark?
Hey, C.
And please give us your initial, if you would, and where you're calling from.
Absolutely. Margaret D. as in Delta. And Georgia, Margaret D. Georgia. This paragraph, or this first sentence, I've had to look at it in a much different light, in that when the emotion was taken away from it, a lot of my self-imposed crises were, I mean, absolutely, they were of my own making, but it was because I was doing my thinking without any input from my higher power. My physical health, the decisions I made regarding my emotional health affected my physical health. And when I thought I was doing the best thing for myself emotionally, you know, without checking in with my higher power or anybody else, when I was definitely running the show or attempting to run the show, was when it's almost uncanny how I would go to the wrong answer, you know. And I think the more wronger it was, it became like a billboard saying, do me, you know, try this one, try this one. For example, when I was, I started smoking when I was 13. That was my best thinking of how to handle emotional issues that were going on in my life. One, which was merely changing from, or going through the physical change of, you know, I can't think of what the word is when you go from a child to being able to reproduce, whatever that is. Anyways, that particular phase of your life. And because I was going through all this emotional turmoil, how do you go from emotional turmoil to start smoking? That will cure everything. You know, so as I look back on that and some other solutions that I just randomly picked out from the universe, it wasn't that I was a bad person. It wasn't that I was a stupid person. It wasn't that I was lazy or anything else like that. It's a life run on self-will is doomed to failure. And one of my sponsors, and I'll wrap it up with this, one of my sponsors always used to look at me and go, you know, Margaret, myself, my best thinking got me into this place. And so when I come to the question about whether God is nothing or God is everything, for me, it better be that God is everything. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. Claire E., it's your turn, followed by Ann S.C.H.
Thank you so much, Dawn. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater in Cornwall in the UK, and bulimic as well. Oh my goodness, what a paragraph. I hope you can still hear me. Sorry, I had a call, something coming in. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, you know, and it just reminds me, you know, that these, and it will come on to talk about it in the chapter where it talks about, you know, this is self-centeredness, self-reliance, self-pity, you know, this sort of obsession I have with myself, you know, and actually it reminds me here that this is creates crises. And I can't postpone or evade them because it's me that's causing them, you know, and it's one person I can't get away from or postpone or evade, and that's myself. Yeah, absolutely. You know, have I had a self-imposed crisis because of my overeating and my perspective on life? Absolutely. And continue to, you know, on pretty much a daily basis, although thank goodness my crises are a bit less dramatic these days. But it's the rest of the paragraph I really wanted to focus on. You know, this fearlessly facing the proposition that either God is everything or he's nothing. You know, it's like that real black or white thinking, but now it's applied to God. What is my choice to be here? Yes or no? Am I in or am I out? And the fellow I did Step 10s with once, who used to have gratitude for everything that happened in the day, even the broken down dishwasher or the person that was rude to them, because, you know, that's a reminder that I don't know. I don't know where God is in a day, and I have to actively look for it. And sometimes the things that I think are not great, you know, sometimes the plans and designs that I have that don't come true, actually is that God is everything. God is in, you know, the box with $1 million, and God is in the box with the carrot. You know, both of those things teach me what I need to know. And, you know, when I can go through my day, that's my choice. You know, when things happen, when life gets lifey, I can choose to see God in that and to learn the lessons that are being presented to me, or I can choose to throw my rattles out the plan and say there is no God and it's all very unfair and, you know, poor me. And that's not always an easy choice, and I don't always make the correct choice, but that is my choice. You know, God is either everything or God is nothing. What is my choice to be? And it reminds me it is a choice, you know, and I do have the freedom to make that choice. I can put myself into the stream with my higher power, or I can decide not to. And that is, you know, that's the bit of my illness I do have control over, is am I going to take myself to God or am I not? I think that's all I have to say on that paragraph, but it's just an amazing, you know, I just love that. Yes or no? Come on, are you in or are you out? And I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. And SCH, it's your turn, followed by Vicky T.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm Ann SCH, a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. And yesterday morning after our meeting, I went into this paragraph in a very surprising way, in that I've been struggling with a cold flu and was down to, my cupboards were bare. And yes, I know there's food delivery and all that kind of stuff, but I needed to go to a couple of places in order to restock my supplies. And I looked at the timing of going, I looked at the traffic, all these things, and I created a crisis for myself in that I just got so nervous, I got so anxious, would I be able to do it in time, and so on and so forth. And in a very real way, I just stopped and said, okay, I have to hand this over to God, to really, you know, just hand it over to Him and let Him figure out the details. Just hand over the worry, hand over the anxiety. And in doing so, I found that a job of doing all that, that grocery run, instead of it being a 3-hour event, it was only took me an hour, and I was amazed. And every time I could feel myself starting to get worked up, would I have enough time? Would I have enough time? I just said, no, I've given this over to you, God. And it neutralized that hamster wheel big time. And so in this meeting, what I'm really hearing here for the, you know, you know things at your heart level, and you know things because you read them. But when you hear other fellows speak them out, you hear other shares about that very critical thing called, you know, the phrase, I'll repeat it again from the text, is that self-imposed crisis. And for me, I cannot believe it, that I finally, in this meeting, have realized the connection between self-imposed crisis and this tendency to go into fear and anxiety. So that's my time. And with that, I pass, and thank you for letting me be share.
Thank you so much, Anne SCH from Canada. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 53, that second paragraph, when we became alcoholics, through one paragraph ending, what was our choice to be? And we're commenting on this one paragraph today. And after Vicky T, followed by Janice K, shares, I will be taking some more names. So Vicky T, please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. I am Vicky T, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thanks so much, everybody. This is such a great paragraph. You know, I was speaking with a fellow this morning, and My biggest fear used to be afraid of a binge. When was the next binge going to come? Just never knew. My biggest fear today is losing my connection with God. That's my biggest fear. Now, I love money. Money is really a big thing for me. But actually, above, I was trying to figure it out, and I thought, you know what? As much as I love money, I love God more. Because money can come and go. Well, God can come and go, too. But he can help me deal with getting a lot of money or losing a lot of money or not having anything. My thing, my self-imposed crisis is that I have what I call trauma triggers. And so when somebody does something or something happens, I don't call it a character defect. I call it a character default. I respond and behave in a certain way. And God showed me through having one of my buttons pushed that he is there to pick up the pieces, but that he wants me to learn how to heal from that. And he said, I'll make you a deal. Put it on your 67 prayer sheet. I'll remove your trauma trigger button. But in the meantime, I want to see how quickly you come back from them. You might not be able to change it, and I can change it. But when you do go there, how quick can you come back? And how are you going to come back? You're going to ask for help. I had four people in my life. I had a lot of people in my life. But there was me. I had a four horsemen. And I like that it's symbolic that there's four people. One person in front, back, on the side. These are my four core people that I go to for help. And God is in the middle. Because God is within me. And when I fearlessly recognize that I have a choice, that there's action behind my choice, I have to show up for God, and then God's going to show up for me. And somebody said this on the meeting, that their definition of surrender is, God, I'm going to do everything that you want to the best of my ability, and whatever the outcomes are, so they're okay with me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vicki T. from Florida. Janice K., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take some more names.
Hello, this is Janice K. from Oregon. Faith, this is a chapter about faith. Faith is an interesting word. It can be a system of belief, and that's what I think we've been talking about up to this point. What kind of God do you believe in? What name do you put on him? What or them or it? What pronoun do you use? Because unfortunately, we don't have a respectful non-gendered pronoun we can use with God. So anyway, there's the system of belief. I think that what we're hearing and experiencing is when we get to this paragraph, the definition of faith changes. From this point on, the question is not, what do you believe? It becomes, do you believe? It becomes God kind of speaking to us from the page saying, so, do you trust me? And that's the thing. Do we trust our higher power? Whatever name we put on it, whatever pronoun we use with it, is it big enough and strong enough and kind enough to do the job for us? Do we trust it? When I read with people from this paragraph, or actually I may move it up into this one, but the next paragraph is when I have my little pencil out and I mark through faith and I write in trust. Arriving at this point, first line is the next paragraph, forgive me for bumping ahead. Arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of trust. Do you trust me? Okay, that's all I had to say, and I think I'm hearing in the shares that a lot of other people see this happening in this paragraph too. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Agnes A. from California.
Thank you so much. Just a second, Agnes. Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon, for sharing with us. And I'll now take some names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I have Agnes A.
Robert G.
MD.
Who was the MG?
Deborah G.
Caroline MD.
13.
Caroline MD. And I heard, did I hear a Roz G?
Yes, please. 13. Thank you.
Okay. Roz G. And who else?
Sue T.
Sue G.
T.
Or Sue T. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, I have Agnes, Caroline, Roz, and Sue. Was there another one?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay. All right, let's go with that lineup. Agnes A., followed by Caroline. Please go ahead and get us started, Agnes.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service and your shares. I'm coming to a very radical way of thinking for me, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but this is what I'm taking from this and from, you know, where I am today in my relationship with God. So from yesterday, we talked about logic, how we are logical people, and today we are talking about faith in God and what that means in solving our problems, including the food problem. The more I read about what's available out there, the more I wonder if forgetting the other issues, the other bedevilments, whether self-imposed crisis continues to be accurate when it comes to food, because we are learning that alcoholism is a disease, and I'm beginning to think that for many people, you know, compulsive overeating too is a disease. It's a malfunctioning in the brain, in the gut, in the hormones and stuff, and that it cannot be a one-size-fits-all, right? Because there are many things out there, because in the past I've struggled with one abstinence fits all, as in no sugar, no flour. And the minute I deviate, I go on a very big relapse because, oh my God, I failed myself. My God failed me, and I have to start all over. So in for a penny, in for a pound, and that kind of thing. You know, but then today I look about all the options out there. You know, I live with somebody who has been over 400 pounds overweight, and she's doing it with a program that's working for her, right? And then there's been the surgeries that some people do and they are ashamed of. And then there is the medications out there that people are ashamed of because it's not whatever, you know, so many solutions out there. And when I talk to God one-on-one and I say this abstinence thing can be sometimes hard, it's easy going till I hit a plateau. And God tells me that between you and me, you pray, you pause, you ask me what is okay for today. And with my power, you do the best that you can, whatever it is, from that smorgasbord of availability. Because somebody is doing no sugar, no flour, or three meals a day and no in between, doesn't mean that that's the only thing that will work for Agnes. Otherwise, it's like the guy whose place was flooding and the ambulance comes and the police comes and the boat comes and the helicopter comes, and all the while the water is raising up to the ceiling and he's going, God, God, but you promised me that you would help me. And God said, I sent all these options to you. I sent all these things, and there you are still waiting. Didn't you know I was coming to your aid with Amy and all of those? So that's where I am today, that this logic and faith works. God is everything, but we need to listen and pause and see, God, where are we today? So I can do my best with your power. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Agnes A. Caroline MD, it's your turn, followed by Roz G. And let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Thanks. Hi, yes, this is Caroline MD. I'm calling from California.
and I'm really grateful to have called in this morning because I love this paragraph, and I've heard so many shares that I probably didn't even need to share, but it's good to just claim my place. Yes, I believe that I always have a choice, and that was something that I fought against for many years because I didn't want to be at fault or blamed or whatever. But once I came to understand that it's all in my head and what I'm thinking is what causes what I'm doing, and I realized that, yes, I do live in a benevolent universe. So God is everything. God is everything, and it's all good. And my job is to figure out why it's a good thing. So that's the question that I ask myself. I've heard others talk about this in various ways already this morning. But what's coming to me is a gift. And can I see it that way? And can I behave in that way so that I'm not the cause of all the chaos and insanity that goes on around me? So with that, I will pass and mute. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Caroline MD from California. Roz G., it's your turn to share, followed by Sue T.
Hey, good morning. This is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale. I'm echoing. I'm wondering if it's my phone. I hope not. But the big book, you know, this is an all or nothing proposal. And as a member of other programs, and especially with relationships, I lived an all or nothing, my way or the highway existence before program. And so I've had to learn how to balance what is all or nothing in my life. And when it comes to a God, and when it comes to being a compulsive overeater, either I am or I am not. And either God is everything or nothing. The big book says there is no middle of the road solution. And another place, I think it's in the doctor's opinion, or it says, or somewhere, that we need to live a spiritual life or else. I'm not sure if it's what book it's in. You know, we live with a spiritual solution or else. I failed completely. I failed utterly. There's some points in the big book where it's like all or nothing. And so as a compulsive overeater, I concede, I admit that I am a compulsive overeater and that I have tried many other solutions to fix the problem. And I failed utterly. I failed completely. So there are other parts of my life where I need to give and take. I need to have some balance. I need to have some compromise with people's behavior that I don't like. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. But when it comes to me, my compulsive overeating and my relationship with God, there is no middle of the road solution. And God is everything to me. And so every morning, because God is everything and I cannot go without bowing my head and asking God to direct my thinking, because lately I've had some work issues. I spent a month mourning over a loss that I thought I needed. About a month, I didn't act out on it. I recognized those feelings. I took them to God. I took them to 10 steps. And without that, I would have gone off on somebody. I would have yelled at somebody, or I would have, you know, gone to the board meeting and expressed my frustration with everybody in front of the public. I would have done that. But because of, you know, bowing my head in the morning and asking God to direct my thinking and asking for wisdom and guidance, I didn't do that. And I'm getting through it. I'm getting over that hump. And I'm seeing the sun on the other side. I'm seeing where God has said to me, Roz, I have other things for you to do. And that's not one of them. So with my relationship with God, I bring God to my daily activities, into my feelings. And if I don't get over a resentment in one tenth step, it's okay. I can do a whole bunch more. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Sue T., it's your turn, followed by Deborah G. Star one, Sue.
I'm Sue. recovered from compulsive eating, anorexia, and bulimia. It's so interesting that that paragraph is so short, but yet so powerful, right? It's probably one of the smallest ones in the big book. And I just thought about it as I was reading it. I have a little girl, and I'm always, like, thinking in the future of, like, what happens if she doesn't do this, or what is the world going to be like, and how am I going to be a good mother to her in the future when she's older? And it's like, this is the paragraph. I should read this every day, you know? All I have to do is access God for that day, and he'll give me the answers as to how to deal with whatever comes in the future for her world, which is so different from the way I grew up. So I think I'm going to print this out and read it every day. And just, you know, every day I just get up. I don't know what the future holds for her. I don't know what the future holds for this world. And I just got to get up every day and do what I did the day before, and that's it. So thank you very much.
Did you want to let us know where you were calling from, Sue?
Oh, I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh, thanks so much. That was Sue T. from New Jersey. Thank you very much. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us. And thank you all for your shares today, 12-Step and me. And what was coming up was I was remembering going through the steps and taking others through the steps and seeing all that unmanageability that I created with trying to control this thing. It was just insane. And the outcomes that happened with it. And then coming to this paragraph, it was just simply, you know, coming to that honesty realization place that I had no power, and looking at God as everything. You know, I had to find a power. You know, I was seeking power because I had no power. And this power could help me. And asking that question to my sponsees, the same thing. If that power that God, is God everything or is not? It was just a simple question and just a simple answer. And but a big awareness, huge awareness. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And we have time for a couple quick more shares if people would like to share. If you have, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Susan, S-H.
Susan,
Mary
S-H. Yes. And who is that other name?
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T. Okay, if you could each take a two-minute share, that would be great. So Susan S.H., please go ahead, followed by Mary Ellen, and I'm sorry we don't have any more time. I heard another gentleman's voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the 2 minutes. I appreciate it. This is Susan S.H. I'm in St. Mary's, Ohio, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater for today. This is a question for me every day, but today it's not so hard. I know what I've seen my higher power do in my life. I've seen miracles, and I trust my higher power. I trust miracles. Higher power is everything. When I read it first with my sponsor, it was not that easy of a question. What came to me then, as I was so unsure, was I choose help. I was crystallizing the fact that I was powerless. What can I do but choose help? What can I do but choose help? So today I'm glad that the steps and working the steps every day are my directions, and they always send me right back to my higher power as I understand him, her, whoever, today. And I'm very grateful for the directions I have and the fellows I have in this program. So thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan S.H. Mary Ellen, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead, please, and share with us and share your initial and where you're calling from, if you would, please.
Great. Good morning. Thank you very much. My name is Mary Ellen T. Zentango, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon. And I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, but this is just a one day at a time recovery process for me. I love this paragraph, and it became something that was really important to me in my recovery journey because I was struggling a lot, even in big book recovery, with relapses. And I didn't understand why, because I felt like I had a lifestyle that was reflective of big book recovery. And I've heard a prominent speaker in our meetings talk about, you know, that if there's repeat relapses happening, that there's a couple of steps that need to be taken a look at, and one of them is step two. And so I just had prayed about this and asked my higher power to help me to be able to see where it was that I didn't have a thorough step two experience. And I think that this paragraph really really speaks to that. You know, I'm in this self-imposed crisis. My alcoholism, my addiction has progressed to this point. Am I at the bottom of my rope? Am I at the bottom of the barrel? There's nothing left for me. There's no other choices. And so if I have no other choice, then you guys who have gotten recovered, who are on, you know, who are examples to me, you know, are showing me that there's no other option. It's got to be God. It's got to be believing in a faith that's not me. And maybe I don't want to call it God, but I got to believe in something, and it's not me. It's not my power. And it's got to be a capital P power. And so, you know, God is everything. Or God is nothing. What is my choice to be? And, you know, I still struggled, you know, with relapses, even after taking a look at that. And I realized, with my last relapse, that there, my disease is so progressed that there is no more other choice for me. There's no more option. I'm a slave to the food, but I'm in the food, and I get to have this existence that doesn't include my higher power. And I love my higher power so much. I love her presence in my life. She's my soulmate, and that relationship has really grown deep and rich. With my relapses and with my journey and my pleading to my higher power to help me to find the true freedom and the true relief. And so,
time.
You know, and so, yeah, that's where it all boils down to, is believing in the miracle of taking me and saving me from the unmanageability of being a slave to the food. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Great way to close out the meeting there. And we're now going to hear a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne S.C.H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Pass.